Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
This is Taylor Swift having eaten dinner, walking to a car 10 feet away.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
Buying cozy pants, even though we already have 37 pairs of cozy pants.
With Margaret Apples
and Amy Wilson.
I really need to get started on my day while scrolling Instagram and definitely not getting started on our day.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
Eating off our kids' plates for emergency sustenance. Sometimes that half a cold grilled cheese hits just right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy, and this week, we just don't get it. I don't know. Not for us.
We just don't get it. Our dear friend Melanie came to our Facebook group, where there's always a great conversation, facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast. You can just look up What Fresh Hell podcast Facebook group. You'll find it. She said, I have a show idea. We're always open to hear your show ideas. She said, things that it seems everyone in the world loves, but you don't get it.
You know, I had a book that I self-published with a friend called There I Said It. Maybe 7 or 10 years ago.
I am hearing this for the very first time. You have a book floating around out there?
Yeah, I have a self-published like collection of essays with friends called There I Said It. And everybody wrote a very funny essay, our, you know, writer, comedian friends, about, it was all musicians, this one. Like, who is the musician that you just don't get, who is just not for you, no matter what anybody else says? So I wrote one about Tom Waits and, you know, everybody in there from like,
oh, I'm so glad I didn't know this, because the song Downtown Train by Tom Waits might be in my top five.
I love the song, but I don't know why you have to have Cookie Monster singing it.
Downtown Train. How dare you? How? I'm sorry, guys. This is what you're listening to is the end of the What Fresh Hell podcast. We had no idea. This is the last ever episode of the What Fresh Hell podcast.
You know, I don't think that we should today decide who's right and who's wrong here. It's just, we're just airing grievances.
No, we're not here to fight, although we could.
We could fight. The whole point is, like, you love Tom Waits. And I'm like, what you hear when you listen to Tom Waits is a different frequency than what I hear, because it isn't the same. It couldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not for me.
This is my brother-in-law and tomatoes. He loves tomatoes. And like, for him, a fresh summer tomato is the greatest thing on earth. I don't mind the taste of tomatoes. I like tomato sauce. But eating a tomato in a sandwich ruins my whole day. Like a slice of mealy, watery, bleeding seeds, nasty tomato, it's the worst thing that can ever happen to me. And it's like he can't sleep at night when there are fresh summer tomatoes and I don't want them on my plate.
And you still don't like them. But they're not mealy if they're fresh. That's the problem. Like, you put a tomato in the refrigerator, just throw it out. To put it directly from the refrigerator into the garbage can because it's not useful anymore. But a fresh one from the farm stand.
No. How you taste a refrigerated tomato is how I taste every tomato.
Right. I'm not going to change you.
And that's the thing. We're going to fight. I can't promise. I'm going to stick up for some of my people who are maligned. I cannot just let someone call Tom Waits Cookie Monster and let it slide. Amy, have we met? That's not me.
Well, that's an old Deluxe alert to many of our listeners. But when it comes to singers, there was one.
Download the song Downtown Train.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes.
And just be happy or be miserable, depending on if you're a Margaret or an Amy.
So the musician that our listeners wanted to talk about, no surprise, the person who has completely taken over every conversation about everything at this moment, Taylor Swift. So Melanie kicked it off. She was like, my thing that everybody in the world loves and I don't get it. She's not, I hate. It's not, I hate. It's, I don't get it. I'm not like, I don't think there should be Taylor Swift. I just don't get it, Melanie says. I mean, she's okay, but why do people lose their minds over her? One of my students went into debt to pay $4,000 for a ticket and it wasn't even a good seat. She just doesn't get it.
I think there is something to the experience. When I was a young, I knew a guy who was a vendor at the Bulls stadium, and he somehow got me in. I didn't even sit for the whole game, but I was like his like vendor helper for the day. And I walked in to Bulls Stadium and I watched Michael Jordan play basketball for like 10 minutes because I felt that existing on Earth in the age of Michael Jordan, one should see him live. I don't care at all about basketball. I'm not a basketball person, but I just want to die saying I saw Michael Jordan play basketball. That was important to me.
And you also weren't there to be like, is he good or not? Is he the greatest? I don't, like, you weren't there to judge. You just were there to see it because it's something everybody's talking about at the moment.
I feel a tremendous amount of camaraderie with people who are like, this is the year of Taylor Swift, right? Or last year was probably. Who knows? We'll see what happens this year.
Oh my gosh. I hope it ends soon, the year of Taylor Swift, but we're in it for sure.
Yeah. I get liking her and I get not liking her. But I really get wanting to see that show because it was the show of the year in the year of Taylor Swift. I get it.
I'm not here to malign Taylor Swift because I think Taylor Swift is probably just as tired as the rest of us with her every movement being dissected, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Although also she's in an industry where I saw something the other day. I was scrolling past something on Instagram and someone was like, when this happens on your block. And I was like, oh, it's an electrical short, like the wires. You know, have you ever seen like when wires explode and it's like. And that's what I literally thought it was a picture of. And then I realized it was a picture of Taylor Swift leaving a restaurant. There must have been, I am not joking when I say there must have been 150 photographers taking a picture of Taylor. This is Taylor Swift having eaten dinner, walking to a car 10 feet away.
Approximately 7 steps to a waiting vehicle, yeah.
She's got her head down, a very blank expression, and it truly looked like when an electrical wire shorts out. Like that amount of light and flashiness. And here's the thing. Back in the day, I was the biggest Madonna fan of all time. Am I going to see Madonna in concert now? Yes, I am.
I'm going next week.
You are?
Yes, I am.
What night?
The 22nd.
I'm going the 24th. Okay. We could have been there together. I can't believe it. So I'm going, but this is how it was. Like if I heard Madonna was somewhere, I would have like climbed a tree to just peer at her. I saw her a couple of times live. I mean, I saw every concert she ever did, including the upcoming one, but I was this kind of fan of Madonna. Like if I had heard, like if you scale this like scaffolding and like lean 10 feet over, you could catch a glimpse of her left heel, I would do it. I like fandom. I like fans and I'm pro fandom.
But fandom is for the young because like when Madonna was a thing, I think your mom and my mom would have been, without even asking them, equally like, yeah, don't get it. Like, what's the thing? And that's, I'm kind of too old for Taylor Swift. Like, she seems nice. She seems like a nice girl. Her songs are good. I don't get it. But it's because fandom, she's that generation's. People who are young enough to really care about something really care about her.
I think historically, there's been, like Madonna was, like my parents didn't not get Madonna. They were appalled by it. She was like dancing around in bras with like crucifixes and like burning them and like kissing girls. And they were like, ah, she's leading Margaret down the garden path to hell. Like they were frightened by her.
Singing songs about pregnancy out of wedlock. Yep, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was a fan. I think that there's something about Taylor Swift that like she has this weird magic charm where she seems like the nicest person alive, like the girl, but she also somehow pulls off like, I'm not cool. I'm the kid on the bleachers. Like
who, me? Right. Everybody's looking at me.
Yeah, like I'm just a dork who loves cats. It's like, you look like a supermodel. She somehow covers like 9 million different bases.
She does.
I give her huge, huge props. And I also, I mean, you can't become this person without backlash. Like, when you're the most popular person in the world, people are like, actually, I hate her. Sarah says she would absolutely sob if she met Taylor Swift, and she's a 36-year-old. I wouldn't sob, but I'd be like, I would do this. I'd point at her and I'd go, you go, girl. That's what I would do. I give her mad respect.
It's so popular that there has to be a backlash, which transitions to the other thing that listeners reported as the thing they don't get
wow.
in the comments. You think they hard. Came hard for Taylor Swift? Kristen says, Stanley Cups. Why must you be on trend with a stupid, huge, expensive metal water bottle walking around sucking on a straw all day? They look like giant plastic truck stop mugs.
Yeah, Taylor Swift should do a Stanley Cup ad and then these people's heads would explode because they really are tired of the overwhelm. I mean, Stanley Cups is one of those. It's truly a fad. Like, I was trying to think of equivalents from our day where it's like every single person has to have
a Esprit sweatshirt.
This thing. I mean, there's been millions of them.
This Esprit sweatshirt. But we drank like 8 ounces of water a day. Like when I was a kid, like I just got my sister-in-law, who's about 20 years younger than me. I didn't get her a Stanley Cup. You know, she's not into labels. She's not that kind of person, but she did want
it. Okay. She's too cool for that.
An absolutely giant, insulated, straw-topped cup to take around in her busy life. But she has a long commute. I don't really spend much time in the car. And I think that might be why the Stanley Cup dog whistle is not one I'm hearing. It's just a thing.
It's just a thing. Like all of my nieces and nephews carry a jug of water about everywhere they go, like pioneers. I'm like, we have that available. We have a lever in the kitchen and you can just get yourself a cup. We're not in end times. You don't actually have to carry around 32 ounces of water by a handle at all times.
I mean, yeah, I used to carry around a bottle of Evian, a plastic bottle of Evian with the top. Now I'm trying to be, you know, stay away from single-use plastic because I live in the world. But certainly, when I was in college, I remember my boyfriend's mom saying to us as we, you know, lolled about her home with twin Evian bottles that we would untwist the top, take a sip, and then twist the top back on. She was like, why do you need a bottle with you? And the other thing I want to know is why do you screw the top back on after every sip? We had no answers for her. She just didn't get it. Yeah, it's just how we did things.
It's just how we did right. things, boyfriend's mom. That's just how we rolled. Yeah, the Stanley Cup thing, it feels very, I recently walked into some big store, like let's call it a Target. It was probably a Target. And I mean, you walk in and there's like a football field size table with three different layers, like a sandwich stand in fancy England, like a three levered gigantic table that runs like the length of the store. And it was just all those cups.
Yeah, like, okay. I don't get it, but I'm glad you're hydrating.
Are there enough people who want? I guess there are. And you definitely, like, as I go to school pickup, every single person, mostly females, are carrying one. I mean, it's like, you have one in your hand at all times, or why even be seen outside in public?
Here's what I'm going to say. I think some downtimes are coming for Stanley Cups. And it is because they, I think, are actually very well constructed. They were originally constructed for, like, I think construction workers to use. Like, they were for, like,
sure,
hard daily use. And then somehow now they're cool.
Yeah. We have them to, like, carry chili around. That's what I think of
them. They're very well constructed. And here's what I'm going to say. Once you have one $40 Stanley Cup, you don't need 10. And this whole idea that you need the new color, I don't think that's going to last that long. And then like it's like Crocs. Like Crocs were huge, but Crocs are indestructible. So once you have a pair of Crocs,
you don't need another pair of Crocs.
And that was tough on Crocs.
They'll wave through. Like I bought Crocs again this Christmas time.
Yeah, they don't. I have a pair of Crocs that don't look like Crocs. Like they look like sandals. And I took them on vacation and I wore them every day. Like day, night, whatever. I was wearing stealth Crocs and you couldn't tell. I'm all for it.
I also have a pair of stealth Crocs that I like. But yeah, I mean, they'll wave through, but you're right. I do think they'll be like different colors. You match them to the outfit. It's a fad. And old people like us poo-poo fads, which is what we're here to do.
Those are the big ones. Yeah, those are the big ones.
All right. So those were our two biggest criminals. Taylor Swift and Stanley Cups, where people came hard for. And let me say, back off on Tay-Tay. But okay. Stanley Cups, I'll meet you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back with a few deeper cuts on things that people just don't get.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order. So Emily says she just doesn't get yoga. I'm a millennial white woman, Emily says. I feel like I'm supposed to live and breathe yoga, but I just can't get into it.
I like yoga. I wish they had a kind of yoga that was all the stretchy and bendy and none of the like goony goo goo stuff.
You don't want to like hold one nostril and breathe. I'm always annoyed when I start a class with that stuff.
No, I don't want to turn to people at the end and hold my hands in a prayer position and bow to them and say namaste. I don't want to do that.
Just do the Peloton yoga classes or the Alo Moves at home alone, and then you won't have to be alone.
I take up a yoga class that I love, but it's just, I don't like the spiritual side of it. I mean, yeah, it's like soul cycle. Anything where I'm supposed to like, I'm not into that part of it. I do like the stretching and the bending and the stronging, especially as I get older. I love the movements, but I could do without the kind of fake, we're at a gym and then suddenly we're in some sort of spiritual thing. I think yoga historically in its countries of origin is a spiritual practice.
Right. It is a spiritual practice. Right.
And I respect that too much to be like saying namaste to people at the YMCA. I don't know. It bothers me. So I just kind of half-heartedly do it. And I don't want to be the person rolling my eyes at it either. That's not quite right. But I wish there was a class called like stretchy bendy that I could do without having to get into saying namaste.
With absolutely no breath of fire.
Not because, let me be very clear, that I object to it. I just feel...
It's up for you. You just don't get it.
Goofy doing it. And I don't get it.
Savange says she doesn't get the hype around Costco or Aldi. They're not no different than regular grocery stores, she says. I have nothing to say here. I have no opinion on Costco and Aldi.
I'm a Costco user. I do like Costco. You have to know what you're there for. That's the thing. I have said before, I like to go to Costco. I get all my vacuum packed meats for like the next 3 months. And then every night I go to the freezer and I'm like, I got some steaks. I pull them out. I put them in a water bath and I make them for dinner. Like I do really like that experience. Like I got like 9 packs of one night's worth of ground beef, and then they're in the freezer, pull them out, defrost them. It's spaghetti and meatballs, people.
Of course, you could do that at the regular grocery store. I'm going to be Chevange in this conversation, but couldn't you just go get 9 packs of ground beef at the grocery store? Are they cheaper at Costco? Okay. All
right. You could, but they would be more expensive. So, like, that's the thing. Costco is very dangerous. I had to cut myself off of my Costco membership when I first had kids. We were, like, scraping by, didn't have any spare money in the bank. And I would go to Costco and regularly spend, like, $500 plus because it's just easy to do. You're like, oh, let me get my diapers and my wipes and this. And, oh, and I'll get razors while I'm here. And you have to really have a game plan for Costco to make it work.
Kara has one that I am so team Kara on this one. Love Actually. I just don't get this movie. I literally have no idea why this movie was not straight to video. Kara, you're correct. This is a terrible movie.
I remember seeing it and hating it in the theater. It's not on my radar at all. I don't even...
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies people are like, let's cuddle up and make popcorn and watch Love Actually because it's Christmas time. And like, I tried to watch it.
Oh, is it a Christmas movie?
I think at some point, you know, Christmas is in it. Like Christmas happens during the movie. So people consider it a Christmas movie in that sort of diehard way, like Christmas walks by. So it counts.
Definitely saw in the theater. Definitely was like, that was lame. And then it's one of those movies that lives on. I think because it's romantic. Like I'm a sucker for a good romance, but it didn't get me, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That one did not get me either.
It has some good actors in it too. Like it was one of those movies, I think, where the people weren't very famous.
Oh.
And then they all kind of became famous. Now everybody from the movies kind of, you know what I mean? Like they all went on to be famous. I don't know. I saw it in the theater and I was like, don't get it.
I'm almost afraid to ask this one. Kate says she didn't get the Barbie movie. She just didn't get it.
I think Barbie movie is one of those victims of its own success. It's Taylor Swift again.
Yeah.
It's Taylor. Like, if I had watched it, I think it was fun. You know, you hear like they're making a Barbie movie and you think it's going to be like a Barbie movie. And then it's kind of a send up of Barbie and a feminist etude. Is it a little bit on the nose at times? Yes. But I just thought she's so beautiful. And I thought the visual design was so fun. I saw it, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, like way after it came out. And I was like, yeah, yeah, it was definitely too hyped. I think if it wins Best Picture, people will say, really? But man, movies are so subjective. We just watched that movie May, December. Have you seen it?
Oh, no. No, I want to.
I want you to see it so we can discuss it. It's
if we get it or not.
It's fascinating. It's really interesting. I had a really interesting reaction to
it. The source material is very interesting to me. Look it up if you know what this movie is about. It's bonkers.
It's definitely not. It's a story that we all lived through when it happened. I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. And it just reminds me of like movies, they hit different. It depends where you see it. It depends everything about it.
Exactly. If I saw Barbie the weekend it came out, I would have come up and like an evangelist for like, you got to see this movie because it would have really surprised me, right? If you waited too long to see it, then you're like, it's not that good. I think you're right. Like anything that you wait too long to get on the bandwagon will seem baffling to you. There's a point where it's too late.
I also appreciated, here's what I'm going to say for Barbie. I think that I went to a women's college. I'm like very feminist. I've read all the books. I think it seems a little like twee to me, like, okay, we get it. But I will say like my sons see that movie because it's got Ryan Gosling and it's fun and it's bright and it's pink and they don't know those messages. And I think it's cool that it is sneaking some really interesting ideas in front of people who think they're just watching a fun movie.
Right. And in front of a massively popular movie.
I will brook no criticism of the Barbie movie because of that. Clore and I are of one mind. Starbucks, there's nothing for me at a Starbucks. I mean, I don't drink coffee, so that's...
Yeah, that's a large part of their menu, yeah.
Obviously. But I would drink almost anything like fun, caloric drink. That seems like it should... And I love to have a hot drink. There's nothing I will drink at a Starbucks. I don't like their tea. I'm a tea drinker. I don't like the way they make a chai. I love a chai tea latte in the right, but I don't like the taste of theirs.
The chai is like, yeah, it's like cotton candy floss in hot water. It's really sweet.
But it's oddly like also not sweet enough for me. It's funny. Like I like a chai that tastes like an oatmeal cookie. Like I like a sweet chai, but theirs is just not right. I don't know. We go to Starbucks. My kids, of course, like from TikTok, like Starbucks, and we walk in.
Right, the pink drink and the this and the that, yeah.
And it's, we'll sit for 20 minutes. There's nothing, I don't like their hot chocolate. There's nothing for me on a Starbucks menu.
What about their shaken green tea lemonade?
I don't like green tea.
What about their shaken, they have a papaya tea with lemonade. How about that?
I'm not interested in that. There's nothing for me. If under pain of, you know, penalty, I would probably get frothed hot milk with like a little bit of hazelnut syrup in it. That's if I had to.
That's your like gun to head Starbucks drink.
Yeah, but who cares? I'm not interested. Okay.
Maya, I am so with you. Yep. Jeep ownership as a personality trait. Maya doesn't get it. We have a Jeep, and I don't get why Jeep ownership is important or something that should happen. I don't want to drive our Jeep. I don't understand it. It's a weird car.
All my life, I wanted a Jeep. I love Jeeps, and I love Jeeps because I want to be the kind of person who drives a Jeep. Like, I want Jeep as my personality.
Jeep girl, hashtag Jeep mom.
For my significant recent birthday, I had driven a convertible when I was in LA, a Volkswagen Cabriolet. And driving with the top down to me is like free paradise. It's just, there's something about being in a convertible that makes me happy in a way that I feel like I have simple pleasures. I've talked about the hot tub. We have a hot tub. I'm like, I get in that hot tub. I'm like, just call me Mrs. Bezos. Like, I might as well be a billionaire. I'm sitting in a hot tub. I love it.
But here's the thing about a Jeep. It's not a convertible. I mean, like, they have a hard top that it takes 32 people to put on, and it's the heaviest thing you ever lifted. And then you can put the soft top on, and then you can take the doors off. But it's like, at least I've been in Margaret's convertible. It's adorable. And it's also extremely like top up, top down. Like if I think it's too windy, I can easily change into something else. A Jeep is going to take like a long weekend to change into the kind of car that you want to drive when it's raining.
And then it's like breezy everywhere. Yeah. So I ended up for my significant birthday getting a Volkswagen Bug convertible. And
one touch convertible.
It's the greatest purchase of my life. I love it. But I think you're right. I think I ended up where I wanted to be because I don't really want a Jeep with the kids and stuff. I don't want them in it. But I'm loving the convertible lifestyle, but maybe the Jeep would be too breezy.
The Jeep is too, like, we took the doors off. Like, my husband was so excited to get a Jeep and then immediately take most of it off, you know, like, start, like, throwing the parts aside as soon as we got it. And then we were going, like, 25 miles per hour on a road, and the kids were like, Dad, it's so cold back here. And it was, you know, not a cold day. It was just a failed experiment.
I think you just think, I'm going to get a Jeep, and I'm going to become cool, and I'm going to spend all my time surfing in Malibu. Even though I live in Lake Queens.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sadiq says, any clothing with words on your butt?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I remember the Juicy. Like, we're talking like 20 years ago, I had one that said Juicy.
I think that's the one. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of other stuff with words on your butt.
Are there new? Yeah. I mean, we're probably missing it. Probably somebody listening is like, yes, there is. It's the Taylor Swift concert gear all says Tay-Tay on the Twitch.
I guess jeans used to, like, designer jeans used to have words on your butt.
Yeah.
That's a good example, Amy, for the Stanley Cup, like Juicy Velour sweatsuits. What, I don't know when that was, 90s. I think that was like a Paris Hilton thing.
Well, I had one when my 21-year-old was a baby, and I could, like, you know, got slowly back down to the size that I wanted to be after my kid was born. That seemed important to me. And I treated myself by getting myself a Juicy Velour sweatsuit with Juicy across. I was a mother. I was a... I had a newborn, and I was walking around like
they
that.
They were very, I mean, that was the Stanley Cup. I mean, I was having trouble thinking of good examples, but that's what, in just like universally adopted, and then you'll never see it again 4 years later. That's a good example of that.
Well, Sadiq also says Hoka. Those are very popular right now. Can you picture those? Those are the sneakers with like the...
I own Hokas, got a bad hip. You'll pry my Hokas from my cold dead hands. I have Hokas.
They're not pretty, but they work, is what you're saying.
They're really good for working out in. I'm sorry. If you're old, you'll get Hokas more because they're very cushiony and they let you work out without pain.
Okay. Brenna is coming in hot with something she doesn't get for 2023, Bradley Cooper. She doesn't get him. I mean, I would say people usually think like him, like he's handsome. He's a good actor. He sang with Lady Gaga at the Oscars that time. My brother-in-law went to college with him for a year until he dropped out because he was already becoming a famous actor. Like, I have no beef with Bradley Cooper, but Brenna does.
He was the guy from Alias to me. So that's an oldie lux alert. Jennifer Garner's star-making thing was a show called Alias. And he played like her nerdy friend. She had a boyfriend, but he played her nerdy friend. And he's one of those people who's frozen in time for me. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, there's the nerd from Alias. It's funny, like how he's just, he'll never be anything like, but I can't see that movie where he's, you know, who does he play? Bernard, Leonard Bernstein. Be like, that's the nerd from Alias. I can't get him out of that mode for me.
I feel like I see him in movies and I'm like, he's handsome, so he's not actually going to be that good an actor. And then I'm like, yeah, he is, though. Like, he was good in this and the next
he's
movie.
He's a good actor. I did not like that Lady Gaga movie, although I do like the song. I do like the Shallows.
I didn't see the Lady Gaga movie, but yeah, the Shallow. Yeah.
I thought it.
Yeah, and they looked like they were. Remember, they looked at each other and everybody was like, oh my God, they're actually in love. No, they were just good actors, both of them.
Yeah, I think. I'm not a huge fan, I guess. I just look at him and I'm like, oh, it's that guy from Alias pretending to do something else. And that's not his fault.
I get Bradley Cooper.
I don't get him. I would say I don't get him.
What about talkies? Chrissy says talkies are something she doesn't get.
I mean, I'm going to make a very broad statement and then I'm going to see if it's actually true as we talk about it. I'm not a snack food person. I don't care.
You don't care about snacks?
I wouldn't eat a Dorito for $5. I don't care about snack foods.
Talkies, if people listening don't know what they are, they're kind of like Doritos with the, like, we'll put your mouth on fire. They're super, super spicy.
They're like a Cheeto-shaped Dorito.
There was some talkie thing where if you ate too many, you would have like stomach problems. And one of my kids insisted this to me, that he knew somebody from like the camp that he worked at where somebody ate so many talkies that they like caused gastritis and they ended up in the hospital. And I was like, dude, that can't be what it was, because there wouldn't be a food stuff like on the shelves in 2023 that actually like caused people to have severe gastritis. Like, that didn't happen. It was probably like a sum total of some other bad decisions. And then a story came out like, whatever you do, don't eat those talkies or don't eat too many of them.
Yeah, don't eat them all. Well, like Firebrand, we at some point during a particularly bored moment of the pandemic purchased the world's hottest gummy bear. And we were doing the gummy bear challenge. And let me tell you, first of all, I expected it to taste like a gummy bear, but hot, but it was not. Its flavor was like cayenne pepper. It didn't have any sweetness at all. I ate like the ear off of this thing and I was in agony for like a half an hour. It was large. It wasn't gummy bear sized. It was like
teddy bear sized.
I mean, it was maybe like 4 inches tall, 6 inches tall and fat. Like, it was a big world's hottest gummy bear.
And very spicy.
And I really thought, like, if you ate that whole thing, it would be very painful. It'd be like eating a tablespoon of wasabi. Like, you could do it, but it's not a good idea.
But yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't care for snacks. I'm salty snacks are not my thing. Sorry.
Snacks, you don't get them. Okay, we'll be back with even more things we just don't get.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
And now, things we definitely cannot live without.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
My snacks. Whether we're eating cookies in the closet after telling our kid there are no snacks, or chowing down on the mini muffins that were supposed to be for the players after the soccer tournament, snacks are not optional.
saying, how is it January already? And then, how is it February already? And then, how is it March already? Every month for a whole year. Can't stop, won't stop.
Buying cozy pants, even though we already have 37 pairs of cozy pants.
Saying, I really need to get started on my day while scrolling Instagram and definitely not getting started on our day.
Eating off our kids' plates for emergency sustenance. Sometimes that half a cold grilled cheese hits just right.
Watching really, really bad TV. Why is it so comforting? No idea. Not interested. Someone turn on Naked and Afraid.
This has been Things We Definitely Cannot Live Without.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Delaney is not a fan of swimming pools, regardless of whether children are present. She doesn't like swimming pools. She doesn't get swimming pools. Let me correct that. She doesn't get them.
I can see it. My sister, Kate, who we talk of often on the podcast, is a super swimmer. She like swims. She's in the ocean every day. She just like, she swims.
You say that you call her a super swimmer. And I've always wondered, is this a like, is that a thing? Like if I Googled super swimmer, would I see somebody who swims in the ocean? Okay.
No, we call her super swimmy. She's just a super swimmy. She just loves to swim in the ocean. She like at 6 a.m. every morning, she's like, woohoo, and puts on a bathing suit and like runs down and swims around like a lunatic. That's just, she's super swimmy. And she won't get in a pool. I mean, she practices in a pool, but she won't just like get in a pool just to like swim around, you know, like she's not interested in a pool.
Just doesn't get it.
And I can see it. I don't really get it.
I love a pool. Love a swimming pool. I don't need to go in. I just to be near one and kind of dip my feet in maybe.
Oh, but that, wait a minute. This is a huge distinction. I love to be on the side of a swimming pool. I think we're talking about getting into them.
Delaney says she's not a fan of swimming pools. She's just not a fan. I'm a total fan of the swimming pool afternoon at the pool experience.
Agree, but I don't want to get in.
I think that's okay. I think you're still a fan of swimming pools. I mean, I'm a big fan of swimming pools. My kids are happy in the swimming pool while I am happy kind of nearby. You're like, that's a great afternoon.
Erin has an idea that I think is a whole other episode of the podcast, which is we're on the parent side now.
Okay. Oh, yes. That is a yes. I'll note
she's
that.
Talking about she doesn't get dirty dancing. Baby's parents had legitimate concerns.
This made me howl when I read this. I have to go back and watch it, but I'm sure you're right, Erin.
Oh, no. They go to a resort in the Adirondacks with their ostensibly probably like 16-year-old girl.
Right. She's baby. They call her baby. Let's assume she's young.
They call her baby. She's got to be 16 in the movie. Whereupon she encounters 35-year-old Patrick Swayze.
Ne'er-do-well.
Who is like an open-shirted ne'er-do-well dancer dude. Who dances incredibly sexy dances. And from what we understand, also romances some of the elderly moms in the film. At least we understand that other people think he romances the kind of divorcees for money.
Yes. He's too old for her.
He's too old. He's, as far as we can tell, a grifter. And then he starts taking off with their 16-year-old. I would be like, police involvement immediately.
To teach her to dance, right? They're dancing lessons. Oh, really?
But it's a romance. It's definitely. I mean, they're the category of films that were like, parents are squares. And now we're like, actually, the parents have a very good point. That person is a ne'er-do-well with a very open shirt who romances divorcees for cash. I don't want my 16-year-old getting involved with him.
Stay tuned for that episode, because that's definitely an episode. I mean,
I mean, there's got to be a million. Basically, every film from the 80s is we're team parents.
Gina says, Timothée Chalamet. She just doesn't get. Gina says he's a child and not that good looking. I just don't get it. And this is where I stand. I'm like, he looks like a child to me. Again, I think I'm just too old to have an opinion on Timothée Chalamet.
This is just we're old. Yeah. I definitely remember. And my parents were, I think, much more apart from us than we are in this generation. Like, I feel like my daughter and I can get in the car and both listen to the same music that we both enjoy. That was not available to me with my, like, if I was in the car with my parents, I was either listening to the Camelot soundtrack or Simon and Garfunkel on their CD player, or I had my headphones in and was listening to Madonna. Like, my parent, there was no Venn diagram overlap between my music and my parents' music.
Well, that's funny, because I mean, I've been in the car with the five of us, three kids and my spouse and me, and all five of us are listening to something different. But it can happen that we all listen to the same thing.
Yeah, I think that happens, but, and I also, I've always liked pop music, so I still like current pop music. So maybe that's what makes it easier between me and my daughter. But I used to look at my parents and think, like, how do you just stop liking new music? Like, when does that, that seemed very mysterious to me that you would ever be like, I'm not into new music.
It's just, you don't know, like, Timothée Chalamet, like, I can conjure up what he looks like. I've never seen a movie that Timothée Chalamet is in. Yeah.
I don't know who he is. Yeah. I can also conjure what he looks like from the Willy Wonka poster.
Oh, from the Willy Wonka poster, yes. And he was in Little Women, too, I think. But it's like, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, I don't know enough. And so that's how. That's how it happens for your parents. Like, I don't think I've heard a Taylor Swift song. You're like, yes, you have. What are you talking about? It seems like to you, like something that you would have to go to such great lengths to avoid. But when you're living in an old world, it isn't.
We recently took an all-family bet. Could my father name a single Taylor Swift song? Like, is Taylor Swift so pervasive in society that my father could name a Taylor Swift song?
I'm going to say no. Did he?
It was a solid no. It wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. He barely knows who Taylor Swift is. Now, he's older, you know, but it is interesting that, like, I mean, most people under the age of 70 have learned about Taylor Swift against their will, right? Even if they never sought it out, they don't care who she is. Right. They know who she is.
Watching an NFL game.
But even so, somebody in our Facebook comments when we were talking about Taylor Swift was mad that she was dating Mahomes, the quarterback. And I was like, that's also hilarious because that's not who she's dating, but I know why you're annoyed. Like, that's kind of how my parents would have been. They're like, that's the one who dates Mahomes. And my mother once went on a very funny rant that we never let her live down, that somebody mentioned Tom Cruise, and she's like, that fat actor, I don't like him. And we're like, huh, that's an odd statement. Like, Tom Cruise is not fat, and what are you talking about?
Many things, right.
And she goes, oh, I watched half an hour of that terrible movie where he was stuck on a desert island. And I was like, okay. So that's Tom Hanks, and also, he was only fat for the first, like, 45 minutes of that movie. And she's like, oh, I turned it off. It was terrible. Mom, you're so off on so many different levels. But I never thought I would be that person. And yet here I am. Timothée Chalamet. Never heard of him.
Danielle said, I want to make sure I get to Danielle's because this is so spot on. I don't get this either. Danielle does not get those specialty sugar cookies that people buy for birthdays or special occasions. Danielle says, they're pretty, but I've never had one that is actually that tasty. And for the price, I feel like the cookie should be delicious and pretty. I see people suggesting these for gifts, and they always make me wonder if there's some niche group that actually loves these cookies. No, there's not.
It's me.
Is it?
It's me. Hi, I'm the sugar cookie eater. It's me.
I don't understand that.
I will about four times a year, maybe less, maybe two. But when it happens, it's very intense. I will awaken and nothing will do except for an iced sugar cookie with the really crackly icing that's like apple with a worm coming out of it, like with a design on it. I want them truly maybe two or three times a year, but when I want them, it's the only thing that will do.
I just look at them and I'm like, that looks
the
like
crackly sugar, and then you get to
the pencil eraser. No, I don't want it.
Oh.
They're good, though. I might never have put one in my mouth because that's the thing. Oh, they're too pretty to eat. And they just feel like...
No, no, no. They're not too pretty to eat. When you get them like for a wedding or something and they've got the really crack... Oh, they're so good. I mean, they're good and then sometimes they're really bad. Like they also... Two horrible things happen. One is sometimes you get them and the cookie is gingerbread. Awful. Horrible experience. The other thing is sometimes you get them and they're like mass produced and they're basically like eating chalk. It's just like chalk on top of like stale bread. If you get a really high end one.
Really expensive.
With the clickety clackety icing and the sugar crystals on top and then the really tasty, very firm but slightly doughy cookie. Oh, so now you're going to make me crave one. So good. And my husband knows. I'm like, you got to go find me a crunchy sugar cookie. And he knows his assignment.
I'm so glad we live in this world where you can have those cookies and really, really enjoy them. And I am free to not get it and live in a world where I don't have to have one if I don't. Isn't freedom great?
God bless us all, Amy. One thing we do get, friends, is that we need you to subscribe to our podcast. That was a rough and not eloquent transition, but here's the thing.
But well meant, but from the heart.
You may think like, oh, this podcast has been around. People listen to it. The fact of the matter is we need, want, and let's say it, we deserve more listeners. Tell a friend, post about it on social, and please subscribe wherever you're listening because it will really help us out.
Yeah, just tap follow or, you know, throw us some hearts wherever you're listening right now. It really helps us. So thanks for doing that. And thanks as always for listening.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.